Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. It says, let the peace of God rule. Now, rule means rule, means be in control in your heart. Now, there are things which will come to you for which you need direction from the Lord. And you want to inquire of the Lord whether to go in this direction or whether not to go in that direction. Sometimes they are very important decisions in your life. And you say, if I get this wrong, it can be costly. So you really have to inquire of God. Now there is this principle which is extremely important in getting your place, yourself in that place where you can be comfortable, that you are pursuing the leading of God, even when you have not explicitly heard from him, or even when you've not had a dream, but you use the principle of let the peace of God rule in your heart. There are things which appear to be good, but when you set out to do them, there is no peace. You don't have any peace. For some reason, you do not feel any peace. So now, there are two ways you go. Either you argue with it and start justifying yourself, but you see, this is what, even the other day, something like this happened and what. The minute you get yourself in a place where you have to argue with yourself to get to it, you are, just know you've gone off. Because when you're finding the direction of God, it does not follow after the patterns of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because some people would expect that certain things are simple as this is right, this is wrong. There is no such thing with God as this is right, this is wrong. That is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the tree of life, something that appears to be right can actually be very wrong. And something that appears to be wrong can be right. And then, if you're using the general parameters, this is right, this is wrong. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine had a lady comes to him and she's in love with a certain gentleman. The trouble is that the gentleman she's in love with is married. So she comes and says, you know, there's this man, I like him, and so on, and, you know, please pray for us. So the first thing that comes to mind is that that's wrong. That's wrong. It's not supposed to be like that. The man is married, and, you know, but he did something better than so many people do. He actually prayed about it and said, God, what do I do about this? And then the Lord showed him the wife of that man, the other man whom this woman is interested in. His actual wife now is in witchcraft. She uses witchcraft to control him. The man has no peace. And so God said, you pray for them. The man has been married, but he has never experienced the joy of being married, because that woman with whom he is just using witchcraft to control him. So forget about that marriage. You pray for them. Now, the other woman, of course, had threatened this one that if you touch my husband, I'm going to show you. You know those things. So, of course, like he covered them and so on. And they ended up okay. And as far as God was concerned, this man, for the first time, is enjoying the joy of what? Of being married. Now, the other one, you see, God is not held captive by one mistake. So he made a mistake and got in that, he fell in love with some witch. God is not held captive by that. Okay? My point is, now, if he had gone by the knowledge of good and evil, he would have missed out on that direction. And I know that. So if you go by the knowledge of good and evil, Jacob lied to steal the blessing. Didn't he? But he has the blessing, and now we say the God of Israel, don't we? So God was also taken along with the lie. You see, so there are certain things in the Bible which you cannot explain if you have your sense of law, of this is what it is supposed to be. For instance, laws of countries and so on, and God is asking you to do something which apparently breaks the law of the land, and you say, no. That breaks the law of the land. The law of God is superior to the law of the land. Who made the law of the land? You see, you have to understand you live in a kingdom. In the kingdom, there is no parliament. The word of the king is the law. God is not a president. He's not subject to anything. His word is law. And that doesn't mean just his word in the Bible. It also means his word as you go along. That's the law. Because that's how kings operate. Kings are not bound by this is how things are supposed to be. No, they aren't. You read in the Bible, somebody comes and says, O King Darius, let a decree be made that nobody worships any other god apart from you. Then he says, yeah, and now that's the law. And he passes the law, and whoever does not do it is thrown into the den of, you know, of lions. And the law has been passed. How? Like that. There is no parliament, there is what? As soon as the king says, that's it, that's it. Praise the Lord. So now, if you're trying to follow the leading of God, the first thing you have to do is get away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That, you know, that's not right. That, who said it's not right? You see, some things, of course, some others, you know, will follow after that pattern. But if you try to box the leading of the Lord into some things which have been put there by man, you are going to miss out on him. Now, but the law which really applies is the law of peace. Let the peace of God rule. Now, the word rule means rule. It means let it be at the top, like it's the decider, it makes a decision. I don't have peace about this. That's it. The ruling has been made. This is not right. And I'm not going to do it. Now, the minute, I'll tell you this, because I'm going to be very brief today. The minute you have to, somebody was telling me, somebody went somewhere to buy certain, you know, ornaments and so on. And then they see the ornaments have certain, you know, things which seem to be of a demonic nature. But she likes them. Then she gets some caution. There's a caution, you know. But this is, then she feels a bit. Draws back a bit. Then now she starts justifying it. But I am covered by the blood of Jesus. What? You have made a mistake. That caution, you have only a split second to heed that caution. And it's usually from God. Not usually, it's from God. You understand? You do something all the time, but this time you are stepping out and you just feel like a small caution. Don't do it. That is the leading of the Lord. Now, you have a small time, a small window, within which to obey it or disobey it. Now, the minute you find yourself having to justify your decision, you've missed it. Now, it's just that simple. Because if you get used to the peace of God ruling, it just, what God does is, it creates a slight absence of peace. A slight, for a brief moment. You say, don't do it. Then you say, okay, I'll not do it. Now, the minute you do that, the minute you accept the ruling of the peace of God the first time and the second time, it becomes very clear, clearer and clearer and clearer until it cannot be mistaken because you are yielding to it bit by bit. That's a principle which is in Matthew 13. Matthew 13 says, it says something that the more you hear, the more hearing will be given to you. Now, that does not even make grammatical sense. You understand? It only makes spiritual sense. The more you hear, then you give you more hearing. Now, that's what it means, because the more you do not hear, you will not hear. Now, you will not hear in small matters, but now when you have a big decision to make, should I buy or should I not buy this house? Your hearing has been taken away, because in the small matters, you did not listen. Now, somebody will listen in the smaller matters. You go to Matthew chapter 13, as I said. Start from verse 13. It says, therefore I speak to them in parables, Because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Seeing, they do not see. Okay? And hearing, they do not hear. Now, some people would wish that the speaking of God was plain the way we speak in normal life. But that is not how he speaks, and you have to get used to that. He speaks in so many ways. Praise the Lord. He speaks in bits. And the purpose, sometimes the purpose of it is to arouse curiosity so that you pursue further to get an answer. Now, if you expect something to be told to you at the beginning, pa, like that, you're going to miss him. So he will give a slight clue, you know, like almost like a puzzle. And here he was using parables. He gives a slight clue. Then you start meditating on that clue. What did I saw this thing? Now, you see, if you understand that there is nothing which you see which comes from nowhere. You can wake up in the morning and you just see a number flash before you. Just a number. Now, for that minute, that number means nothing. But now he expects you either to get a hold of it and keep it, or to start trying to search out what does this number mean, until you get the clue after so, I mean, until you get what he's saying after so many clues. And then you piece it together, and then you come up with it. Whether they just speak in plain speech, go and ask him. Amen? So you either learn how he speaks, or you miss out entirely. Because this is how it is. And that's why they're asking, why do you speak in parables? He said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Because mysteries are not given out free of charge, are not dispensed free of charge. There's nothing of value that is lying out there. Everything that is of value has to be hidden somewhere. Anyway, so he says, seeing they see and they do not, and hearing they hear but they do not understand. Go ahead. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Verse, for the hearts of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. First go to verse 14. Hearing you will, hearing you will hear. I want to get it. Try it in King James Version. Here he says, by hearing you will hear. How do you hear? How do you hear? Now, you start by hearing the small, apparent, the small things. Then they become bigger and bigger. The more you yield to them. Now, the more you ignore them, they become more and more distant. So you get, you every time you go, you have some leading, some form of leading. And then you value that leading, and you adjust yourself to something. So, as I've told you before, a lot of times the leading is just don't go here, don't do this, don't say, especially don't say. You're about to say something, and then you feel the check in the spirit. There's a guy who was a friend of mine. He's a man of God, somewhere from northern Uganda. Now, 5 years ago when I was going around campaigning, I was with some short lawyer like this, who was a spy. Now, when I found out that what? When I found, you know, somebody told me that what? The things you say about, at least for me, I just say, I am not Judas. You see, So if you think I am mean with my words, I'm not going to betray anybody. Praise the Lord. I will just stop at talking. Anyway, so when I found out that guy was fake, I told the other man of God from northern Uganda, by the way, you know, this guy whom I used to be with was fake. He said, I knew. I said, how did you know? He said, every time I would want to tell you something, I would feel a check in my spirit. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. And then when you'd be alone, I would feel free to say certain things. But when you're with him, every time I would want to say something, I feel a check in my spirit. Now, I said that now, this is somebody who has mastered the art of not getting in danger by just checking their spirit. Because you are about to say something. And now, I've told you this before. Everybody who is spiritual will start saying a sentence and stop halfway. Isn't it? Somebody starts and says, by the way, they say, ah, let's forget about it. Then he moves on. Now there you know there has been a check in the spirit. Don't say. And now when you train yourself to do that, you can be with people like that right next to you. And the information they have been sent to get from you, they will never get it. Because even when you would have said it, the Spirit of God will say, don't say. And you say, why? But you just don't say. So you are going to give a story, then you just feel a check inside you. Then you keep quiet. Then the person says, you were saying something. I said, no, it's okay, let's move on. You were saying something. Then you say, no. I think Arsenal might win the title this year. You find a diversion. Because you've checked your spirit. Now, when, by hearing, amen, you do what? Hear. In other words, the more you hear, is the more you hear. The more you do not hear, is the less and less you hear. And the more that voice becomes distant, until you get to a point where you're living purely out of your mind. You are like somebody who has never received the Lord. Everything you're doing is coming out of your mind. You've cut off the spirit. But then, and anybody has the ability to live off the mind, by the way, because you just have to cut that link off once, two, three times, and it starts vanishing slowly. It's there, but now it's so deep, it has been covered up with logic and all sorts of finite reasoning that you can no longer now pick up what it is saying. The trouble with that is there's no difference between you and the heathen. But now scripture says, by hearing, or let me paraphrase it, by listening, you will hear. Amen? The more you hear, the more hearing is given. Now, some of these things are so grammatically wrong. But it's just something you have to experience to know what it is talking about. And shall not understand, or shall understand. And you choose one way or another just to go in a certain direction. And now God stirs up curiosity. When you don't understand that, he will come and beep you like he's the master of beeping. Now the purpose of him beeping you with something which means nothing of its own, is so that you go and search out, what does this mean? What does it? I've had scenarios where I see a number and it is very clear, a number flashes in front of my, and I see a number. And then I say, what is the meaning of this number? And then I just get a hold of it and keep it in my mind. And it stays there sometimes for as much as 3 months before I ever understand what it is. But when it comes out, it saves me because I had a prayer. So somebody comes and tells you there is this and this and this, and you know it's going to work out like this and this and this, and you say, how much? Then he gives you a number which has been in your mind for 3 months. And you know that, and now you see, if you can't hold on to something for that long, then you're missing out on the puzzle of God, because that's how he operates a lot of the times. And you see, you'll say that, why does he do puzzles? I don't know, but sometimes maybe to get your attention. And you understand that if you do not pay attention, if you ignore it, as most people do, you are missing out on proper, powerful direction. Like it is it's so easy to ignore. And something powerful has flashed in front of you, which is going to sort you, and you do not take it as a serious matter. So you be like Moses in, Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. You see, it says that, very important. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Okay. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, praise the Lord. When the Lord what? What if he had not turned aside? What if he had just said, man, these bushes these days don't know how to get burnt. Now, like you, that was his calling. That was his destiny waiting for him. But God had to first beep him and see, are you interested in something serious? Now, you see these words which come and they are just presented there. And yet behind them, there is something so powerful. Now, when the Lord saw that Moses turned back, now that's where everything started happening. Amen. I told you here the other day how I was lying on the couch and my kids were watching TV and they were watching these Bible stories. And I dozed. And in the Bible story, Jesus was calling Peter from the shore, telling him to cast his net for some fish. And now when it was happening out there, but actually in my half sleep, I was seeing Jesus properly. And I was in the boat. I was in the boat and I was seeing Jesus on the shore. And then I heard his voice booming. Cast your net on the then who were in the boat with Peter. But I was on my couch where? At home. Now, but then I had the voice, after the Lord told him that, I had the voice of the Lord saying, has it ever crossed your mind to think about what would happen if Peter had not cast the net to the other side? Then I said, think about it. Peter, I mean, Jesus was just some guy who showed up. Peter was a fisherman. Then some dude shows up, okay, and says, I want to use your boat to preach. So he pushes the boat inside. Now this guy is telling him, cast your net. And like it goes against all rules of fishing because nobody catches fish during the day. And Peter, of all people, knew that. So he says they were mending their nets, waiting to fish at night, as you know they do. But somehow Peter just does it. So he was asking me, what would have happened if Peter hadn't done it? Now, there was Peter's destiny, calling him with just some small thing, cast your net. Then that's where everything starts moving. Then the fish, then what? Then get away from me, Lord. Then says, come, I'll make you fishers of men. Then, now, all that from one small instruction. Now, there's a reason why he told me that, because the biggest things come with a small instruction, which so many times are ignored. And yet they are the call to something big. Imagine Moses. Where it says, now when God saw that Moses had turned aside, then now he starts talking. Then he calls him, Moses, here I am. The rest you know. The rest you know. Praise the Lord. Now, the whole thing of what we are talking about here, and the reason I'm telling you this is because this is going to be the major thing. Next year, we are all going to step out. You have been seated here feeding on a lot of things, listening to a lot of material. Some of you are just scared to step out and do powerful things. Now, next year, you're going to what? Step out. But when you step out, you have to... This learning how the Spirit of God leads people is the most important lesson that you're going to learn. In other words, you're learning spiritual language. Just like a child on this earth learns how to speak. Without that, there is nothing. They can't communicate, they can't learn, they can't study, they can't do anything. Now, the Spirit of God is so interested in teaching you the spiritual language so that you learn how to communicate with Him, so that when you go out there and you're deployed, you can get orders from the Commander-in-Chief, who is the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And He can count on you because you will say that, okay, for some people even the idea of dreams is a bit alien. You know, you dream, you wake up and you just forget it. And there is a clear dream and you saw something clearly, very clearly in a dream. And you just wake up in the morning, you think, what does this mean? Even the dreams are not going to be direct. they will be cryptic. That's how God speaks. There's always some cryptic thing where it needs an interpretation, because in that interpretation is where he gets a hold of, you know, gets your attention, and it's personal to you. You see? That's why some people go and start trying to get meanings of dreams, and then they say this, when you see a dog, it means this, when you see that, and all that is, a lot of it is fake, eh? Although some of it I've realized, some can be right and so on. But a lot of it is fake. Because, you know, they would say that a dog means the spirit of lust. Have you heard that? Eh. But it's not necessarily true. It may or may not. But there's a bit of truth to that, though. Eh? A bit. But you see, now if you follow after that, then you will miss a specific instruction that can be for you. There are people who love dogs. So when God wants to show you something, he'll show you a dog. There's a spirit of lust. No. It's just something you like. Eh? If somebody gifts you a dog. There's a guy who used to be a watcher here. He used to look after dogs. One day I saw the guy. The guy came here, I was praying for him. And I saw him crying tears. I saw him in the spirit. Crying tears because one of his puppies had died. Like the guy was crying like he had lost a relative. So now somebody who loves dogs that much, if he sees dogs, it might not mean spirit of lust. So you can't follow after those. The man loves dogs, but okay, I don't know of anybody. Because what I saw, I told him, you man, I'm seeing you crying over a dog. He said, yeah, that is true. I lost one of my puppies. Now some of you can even run over it with your car. I hope not anyway, but that's a matter for another day. Because you have no love for them. No love for them. But other people, the guy was weeping. And he raised them for sale. And I'm thinking that, this man who loves dogs like that, I'll never buy a dog from him. Because you require accountability. Are you feeding it well? I said, but that's too much love. Eh? Yeah, I will buy from other people. Anyway, my point is, so that speaking of you, the parable, that whole, it's all based, number one, on curiosity. Curiosity. God arousing your curiosity. Doing something which is going to stir you up, to start seeking. Now, if you are the kind of person who is easily bored, something small happens, you see a number, and you just, I don't know what that is. I don't know where it came from. The other day I was praying and something happened. And now you see these are things which are, I just come from outside the country, and I came home, and I found a new maid. So when I was walking out, I looked at her and I said, this one, eh? But I didn't want to prejudge, because it's my wife who brings maids. So I said, okay, let me chill. But at night when I was praying, I saw all the doors open. See, somehow I was seated in my prayer closet praying. I didn't even tell my wife. I saw all the doors wide open like this. And then I knew it had something to do with that maid. Then I did not tell her. I just prayed that God tells her something. Then that very, very night, as soon as I finish praying, I find her there and she says, I've dreamed something about this girl. Anyway, the next day she went. But then here is what happened. Then somebody else told me, the same agency where we got that person from, they got somebody from there, and she dreamt when the person had called thieves. Came in, just took a short while to get used to the house, and then opened the gate for thieves to come and steal and so on. Then I realized that's what I had seen, because I was just praying like this, and suddenly it flashed in front of me. All the doors of the house were open. So now you can do one of two things. Eh? You see something like that, you ignore it. You say, I don't know what was that. You continue praying. Then something happens to you. And later on you start lamenting. And yet actually God warned you. And I'm telling you this, God warns all the time. You cannot get into any serious trouble unless God has warned you and waved the flag in front of you. Don't go, don't go. He does that all the time. It's just that you refuse and you justify things and say, but there's nothing wrong. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Or what? And then you say things which are generally true, but specifically, God is telling you don't do that. And you ignore it because you want to do it. You've made up your mind you want to do it and you disobey. And you land into trouble. And then afterwards you start doing that. Now, what is going to happen is you are going to... Today I'm going to finish very, very early, by the way. What is going to happen is you are going to commit yourself to a lifetime of studying, lifting some muscles of learning how to listen to God. Slowly by slowly. Do not... Let's read this other... Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in you. Now, here is what I do simply, very, very simply. Should I not? Okay? Let's say there's a car I want to buy. And I'm thinking, is this something I'm going to be comfortable with later? I'm seeking for direction from God. Now, this is what I do. I'll go and get the car and maybe even sit in it and so on and accustom myself with it. Or if it's any decision, just get used to it. Get, you know, a hold of it in my mind. Then I put myself in neutral gear. God will not speak if you've made up your mind. The way you ladies be when you want to marry somebody. And you come and say, should I marry him or should I wait? You've already decided. In your mind, the wedding is finished. You even have already 3 kids. But you come to us to ask. Huh? Now, God knows. He's not going to waste time with you when you've made up your mind. So you have to learn how to put yourself in neutral gear. I am ready to go this way or the other way, whichever direction I feel comfortable with. So I'm in neutral. I can go reverse. I can put drive. I am now ready for direction of God. And you put take time to get your heart there, to get accustomed with whichever side it takes. So now I may be excited about the car and I'm excited about it, but I say no. I sit and say, if I don't feel the peace of God ruling with that decision, I will not buy it. And I first put away the excitement and put myself in neutral gear. Then I start praying. This is the simplest way. Then I start praying in tongues. As I think about the car and I try to think about the decision I'm going to make and about that. If after 10 minutes of praying in tongues, I feel comfortable in my heart, I am confident that the peace of God is ruling in my heart, then I'll go with it. If it is not God's will, I'm telling you, the minute you start thinking about it, the minute you have to start justifying yourself, but I don't like it, but anyway, but you see, even the other day, you've lost it. because when you're leaning in a certain direction and God is pulling you in another direction, there will be some justification. You see? Now, if it is not the one, you will find all sorts of reasons not to do it. But the reason is actually your spirit. Now, you have to learn that usually, let's say, if your spirit says no and you accept that verdict, the ruling, then you start justifying it in your mind. I didn't even like the color. I prefer gray, what? But that is your reasoning. But the ruling has been made the other side, on a place which is higher than your mind. You understand? But don't trust your mind at all. Unless it's a decision that doesn't matter to you. But now, even those that don't really matter, that are not life and death, the more you practice it, the easier it becomes. And when you come to a place where you have to make an important decision, you can trust that you know how to get the leading of God. First of all, you have to trust that God always wants to lead you. Always. Amen? Yeah. Now then, you have to practice. It has to be a lifetime of practice, of knowing that, I'm developing muscle. The same way when you start lifting muscle, you know, you develop bit by bit, bit by bit. You don't start with lifting 100, you know, kilograms at the same time. That's not going to happen. So you start by, you know, lifting. And at some time, it becomes easier, and you grow bigger and bigger and more accustomed to it. And but if you feel that you're not in neutral gear, don't waste time praying about it. You do what you've decided. Amen? Unless you can actually put yourself in neutral gear. Because there is the human mind is very strong. The subconscious mind is very strong. It will give you dreams on something which you have decided you want. Yet it's fake. Do you understand? When you decide you want something, and your subconscious mind has made up, has decided, how you will see dreams? You will see dreams of yourself with that guy on the altar and what? Then you say, but the Lord is leading me. No, it's your subconscious mind. You have to put yourself neutral gear. I love the guy, but if God says no, I'm not going to go. I will let the peace of God what? Rule in my heart. And then you decide, what, however painful it is, I will make, let the peace of God rule. Now, when you put yourself in that place, the voice of God actually is very easy to see. Because you make a decision which makes no sense, and yet you'll be comfortable. You'll have peace in your mind over it. You've missed out on a big deal. And then you have peace. But you should not have peace. But there's this big deal which came, and you're wondering, should I not? And then you feel don't. Then you don't. And then your mind is telling you, where are you going to get such a good deal? But inside you, you're feeling at peace. You're happy. Then you know, I did not miss God. Now, because the peace of God is ruling in your heart. And that's a very simple but powerful way of... But it becomes clearer the more you practice it. Now, the scripture says, 1 Timothy. Okay, let's first read here. Go to the next verse. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. In all wisdom. Now, there are places for direction. There are places for wisdom. The wisdom of God. Okay? Some things require wisdom. But not the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God. So he says, and what causes that wisdom? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, when you have the Rhema word, but the Logos word, the written word, and what is in your mind, and it's richly in your mind, it is so much easier to hear the word of God. Because actually even God speaks a lot using the same phrase, terminology which is in the Bible. He will tell you a word there, and you look for it and you find it in the scripture. The very words, all the time. Okay, not all the time. If you are telling you to start a church in Chireka, there is no Chireka in the Bible. But a lot of the times, the things which he tells are actually using, he borrows from the phrases of the Bible. So the more you have the word of Christ richly in you, which Christians these days have neglected. People do not read the Bible these days, by the way. Do you know that? They don't even listen to the Bible. It should be easy. But anyway, that's a matter for another day. But it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, in all wisdom. Now, there's a place for wisdom. And certain things, somebody comes to me, for instance, and asks me something. In some areas, I don't even need to inquire of God. I just use wisdom. And the scripture says that. Here, but also somewhere else. It says that in what? It says now, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and giving grace in your hearts to God. Now, when you are in this state of mind, man, you can't miss God, because there is a place where you're singing, worshiping, psalms, what? You cannot miss God, because his voice is so clear, it becomes extremely clear because you've exercised your senses to hear from God. When you read Colossians chapter 1, first, go to verse 5. So he says, go back another verse. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Go ahead. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. and of your love for the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, go ahead, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 7. You also learn from, go ahead. Okay. For this reason, we also, since we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Praise the Lord. He says, I learned about your faith and about your love. And in other words, I learned that you've matured to a certain level. Now, then after that, I started praying that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. You may be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all what? Sometimes the will of God is just in wisdom, but not carnal wisdom, spiritual wisdom. He says wisdom and spiritual understanding. So sometimes somebody comes and asks you something, and you need to inquire of the Lord. Sometimes you do not need to inquire of the Lord. You are somebody who has the wisdom of God. And you say, that one, it's not going to work. I can tell you outright, it is not going to work. And like I told you, they are saying, wisdom, the wisdom of God. He says here that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay? And then you move in the knowledge of his will in everything. Then he goes on to say what happens when you move in the knowledge of his will. And you're actually doing his will in all wisdom. Now, spiritual understanding is something. Understanding the spirit, the spirituality of all this. But wisdom is a connection of... wisdom is how to appropriate knowledge to make your life better. So there are so many people who have a lot of knowledge and their head is full of knowledge on all sorts of things. But... they do not have the wisdom to make that knowledge count for anything. Now, wisdom is a spiritual thing and is given of God. And when you have that wisdom, you can have little knowledge and actually make it work in your life. Okay? Now, wisdom is not necessarily all the time something terribly spiritual, although it is the wisdom of God. That's why in the scripture they used to have counselors, people who were counselors, and their word, they would go and inquire of them. Okay? There was that guy who was David's counselor called Ahithophel in the scripture, whom the Bible says inquiring of him was like inquiring of the oracles of God. He was just gifted in wisdom. And he can tell you, don't do that. It's not going to work. And so on. So now, here he says wisdom and spiritual understanding. He goes ahead to say the things that would happen, but that's not what I want to preach about here today. Let's first go to Hebrews chapter. Okay, go to Hebrews 5, we see. Go to verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is what I'm talking about. Who have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Now, exercise, the word exercise means continual use, repetition of something. That's what is called exercise. Okay? If I skip once, that's not exercise. If I skip 100 times, that's exercise, isn't it? Now, that's what it is. Now, it says, who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Now, you can exercise your senses. This is what I'm talking about. You exercise your senses to discern from the direction of God and not. Very, very important. And how do you do it? By continual use. Just like exercise in the gym. You exercise yourself to lift weights by continually lifting them, isn't it? The more you lift, the more you can lift. Okay? The more you hear, the more you hear. By hearing, you will hear. You understand? That is exercise. That's what talks about exercise. Now, it talks about exercise again. And I'm trying to get you this word exercise down to you. Because it talks about it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting from verse 7, it says, the one I wanted to read, it says, 1 Timothy chapter 4, where? This one has a different sermon altogether. First Timothy 4:7, he says, move faster. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. Now, here he says, exercise yourself. He says, reject old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. Now, I'm going to tell you this, that one of the worst things that you can do for exercising your godliness is old wives' fables. Like stories. Stories. Did you hear what so-and-so did? He did. Like, that is dangerous. And I wish people knew it. And when it gets inside somebody and it starts stinging away at them, and people don't understand that the devil has, you know, like the way defense lawyers are supposed to do, once they create reasonable doubt, they don't have to prove anything. They just have to break down all your proof. Now, if you're a prosecutor, and some people here who know these things will tell us, you have to prove. If you are trying to prove that Akena committed the crime, you have to place him at the scene of the crime. You have to do what? There are so many things you have to prove to show that he actually committed it. Now, in his defense, they only have to disorganize what you're trying to bring. They don't need to prove anything. They just distort. So what? And so the defense lawyer just comes and distorts. So there's not enough proof to rule against somebody. Now, this is what the devil has to do. If you can get somebody who God has put in your life to benefit you, and he starts planting seeds about him. Did you hear what that person did? Did you hear? You're finished. He is attacking you. You don't know he's attacking you. Because the minute those words get into your mind, you are not going to receive anything from that person. And if God designated that person as the one who is supposed to feed you, God is not going to give you another one. He will not, because you have Lugambo. You will not. No, my point is, because you have Lugambo, God is not going to change his mind. That, okay, Kableta is the one who was supposed to feed you, but since you've had a lot of Lugambo about him, let me give you another. He will not. You will die in the wilderness. And words are powerful. And when you don't understand how powerful words are, there are people who come and they tell you, I've decided I want to leave the choir. And you know there are words which they have been listening to. And you say you leave. You see, when you don't understand that, this scripture is not idle. Reject old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. You cannot exercise yourself towards godliness when you're in Lugambo. You cannot. Lugambo is sweet in a certain way to those who enjoy it. It's like pork. Have you ever met people who like pork? Eh? Like, like there's a way they can, when they are, you know, eh? You know, pork has non-neutral people. Those who love it, and those who hate it, what? So that's how Lugambo is. Like, it is so tempting to those who are. Now, when you get into these old wise fables, you will not exercise yourself to godliness. It becomes very difficult because your mind is full of certain things, words, which are, and they don't have to be very many. They just have to be a few words. So if the devil can get somebody to plant certain words in you, did you hear what? Did you hear this? I'm told that. He has you. Now, the next time, the person who is supposed to be of benefit to you, let me tell you, Lugambwa is terrible. There are things which they told me when I was in primary school, which I still remember. That Wamusanze, what? You know those things, eh? And like 40 years later, you're still remembering this. And the things which matter, you don't what? You don't remember. So now the only way, when you learn that, you actually learn that this scripture is not idle. It says reject. It says, but reject profane and old wives' fables, stories. Just reject them. I don't want to hear. Don't tell me. Did you hear? I don't want to know. Are you aware? Oh my God. And says, and exercise yourself towards godliness. Now the word exercise here actually means exercise. Because in the next verse, he actually even talks about it. He says, verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profits a little. So he's actually talking about exercising, you understand? Now that's the same way you exercise godliness, by repeating something and trying to understand how it works. You know, you get to a point where you actually totally completely. There was a time I was like that with the dreams, eh? But now I kind of moved on. But I remember those days, I was so into dreams that you would start telling me a dream, I tell you what it means before even you reach halfway. Like I had exercised myself to interpreting dreams. Because mostly when I started Watchman, most of the people would come to me with dream interpretation, and so on. I remember one time I went, some people, Church of Uganda, ladies and what, you know, called me to go and preach. They had a night prayer. So I reached there and I'm thinking, what am I going to tell these people? So I just told them, do any of you have dreams to interpret? Come and, you know, they all lined up like this with dreams. And I was giving them like these interpretations, like this. And they were shocked that the interpretation seemed to be sometimes totally different from what the dream appears to be. But I had totally exercised myself towards doing that. That you present a dream to me in a short time, I have it. But then, of course, I moved on to other things. And like that sharpness, especially in dream interpretation, is not necessarily there now. I try to move on to a higher level. But my point is this. You can exercise yourself in anything, in the spirit, in listening to God, and you exercise yourself. Because bodily exercise profits little. You see, eh? But godliness is profitable both in this world and the world yet to come. Now, the reason he's comparing the two is because they are the same. Now, every time you stand out to start getting something, those signals that God sends, those beeps that God beeps you, and then you start exercising yourself. What's the meaning of this? What is this? Why did I see this? Why did I see the doors open? The doors of my house open. Okay? You have to know this, by the way. There is nothing you see, even in your mental mind, not which you've thought, but which you see, which comes from nowhere. It can't come from nowhere. It can't come. You wake up in the morning, something just flashes before your mind. Don't take it lightly. Now, those are the beeps which can be leading you to something powerful. Powerful, somebody you're going to meet, somebody you're going to do. Do not take them lightly. Now, that is God flashing something in front of you to see if he can get your attention. If he actually gets your attention, that could be like Moses turning aside or like Peter casting aside. Something which is going to change your whole life. And when you look back, if Moses was to look back, everything turned the minute he turned aside to say, let me go and see this burning bush. And he says, when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, then he says, hey, okay, you're interested. Now we can start from here. Praise the Lord. Now, that's how you exercise yourself towards godliness. And exercise means you do it all the time until you perfect it. Isn't it? That's the meaning of exercise. You can perfect it. I remember I was listening to a man of God who said that, and this really had an impression on me. He said that he is so cautious, he is so aware of the presence of God next to him. He's even more aware of it than that of his wife who is lying next to him. Like he said, I started out when I would be pursuing him and thinking he's not there and so on. But after some time of pursuing, it becomes very clear and his voice becomes extremely clear. And there is no mistaking, you can hear him, you are having conversations with him, and it is not mysterious. Now, the difference between people who think the speaking of God is mysterious and those for whom it is clear is exercise, is continual exercise. That's it. You can also exercise yourself towards what? Lugambo. And you also become very good at it. And there are people whom I know who are good at it. And some of them, I'm seeing them now. I'm joking. There is nobody. But you know, you choose the direction. You choose what's of value to you. And you say, you know what? If I'm actually going to be a complete end-time minister, and effective. I am going to perfect this art of hearing from God. Now let me start it. There is nothing that you are expert at that you just learned in 1 month. It's not there. There has to be a continual, you know. Even if you've graduated in it, you have to continue, you know, upgrading your thing and so on. So there's a continual exercise. So you have to value it and say, how much do I value it? Do I value it enough to want to pursue it? The answer is yes. Okay, I am going to now start exercising. So now, Lord, tell me some things which I want. I remember when I started exercising it sometime, the Lord would tell me things which are easily, instantly, verifiable, so that I know that it is Him who was speaking to me. One, I remember specifically, I was in my compound praying, and the clouds covered the whole place, and there was, you know, thunder and lightning and so on, and it was definitely coming to rain. And I was seated in the compound, and I was saying that as soon as it starts raining, I just carry my chair and enter the house. Then He spoke to me and told me that you are the one holding the rain. It will not rain until you finish praying. So I said, let me see if it is Him who said it. So I stayed outside with Kajanja. I stayed there. The lightning continued and thundered and what? I stayed there for like 1.5 hours. It thundered, thundered, thundered. When I finished, as soon as I put the chair inside, it poured. You know those rains which go up to morning and, you know, up to end like at 9:30? That was like 3 a.m. And it really, really thundered. So now you start distinguishing His voice from your mind. And now He's doing that the same way you do with a child. When you tell him, go and get for me that pencil. You don't want the pencil. You're teaching him out, you know, your language, isn't it? It's not the pencil you're interested in. You can get you. Now, God will also start telling you things like that. And He's trying to teach you His voice. Now, if you are interested, if you are not, He's not going to force you. If you are interested, it will become clearer and clearer and clearer. And the instructions will become more and more and more. And by hearing, you will hear. Amen? By hearing, you will hear. And then your hearing will grow. And you'll become fluent at hearing. And then that's how you what? Exercise your senses. Praise the Lord. Now it's time for what? For Holy Communion. Praise the Lord. We are going to exercise our... Hurry up. Who is sick? Who is this? This is your friend's sister. Breast cancer. Is she a believer?
Yes, she is.
No, not that it matters. Eh? God heals everybody. I was just asking. Okay, what's her name?
She's called Jean.
Jean?
Yes.
J-A-N.
J-E-A-N-E.
J-E?
Jean.
Jean. Jean, Jean. Okay. Jean, Jean. Jean, Some of his names are too what? For us, we are used to Asumpta. Mary Asumpta. Her name's like that. But she's Jean. If you had told me Salome. Anyway, Jean, I'm suffering from breast cancer. Eh?
Yes.
Okay, let's first have Holy Communion and pray for. Any other? Who is this? Who is this? Come and tell us. It's your kid.
Yes, I am the name called Kim John. From the tribe, I'm a Kajong. This is my second time to come here. I have my sister who was bathing in the bathroom. Yesterday, it's light. Then he got a simple fracture through the hand. So I was supposed to come, but it's still bad love. So I was taken to Mulago Hospital.
Okay.
Yes, it's called Ashiairi.
Okay.
That is it.
Okay, you also come and tell us. Whose kid is this? What's the story of this kid?
Okay, this kid has been in hospital.
Who's it?
The person who brought the photo, I'm not seeing her, but she was around. She has taken the baby outside.
She has taken what? But the baby is here?
No.
Yeah.
This is the neighbor's baby.
The neighbor's baby?
Yeah.
Does she know your name? You ask her. This first I have for the communion. In the name of Jesus, Father, we sanctify this bread and this wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, for this use of Holy Communion, even as the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us on the night on which he is betrayed, when he took of the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, Lord Jesus, even as we take of this bread and partake of this wine, we bring into remembrance your death and your suffering. We bring into remembrance your body which was broken so that ours can be whole. And we receive wholeness, complete wholeness in our bodies in the name of Jesus. We receive health and healing and strength and longevity in the name of Jesus, because that is what you died for. Now every sickness, every weakness, every incapacity is flushed out of our bodies in the name of Jesus and is replaced with life and with wholeness. Even as the word of God says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, if the spirit of Christ, if the spirit of he who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies by his spirit who dwells in us. And even as we partake of this, we believe that you quicken, that you give life to our mortal bodies by your spirit that dwells in us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Receive of the bread. In the same way, Lord Jesus Christ, you took of the cup and you shared it among your disciples and you said, "This is your blood, the blood that ratified the new covenant, the covenant between God and man, which was sealed in your blood." And as we partake of this wine, we partake of every blessing that your blood purchased for us. We partake of wealth, we partake of health, we partake of victory, we partake of everything that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us to have. Everything. His blood, his life. We partake of the life of Jesus Christ, because the life of the body is in the blood. And now as we partake of this blood, we believe that the very life of Jesus Christ is in us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We first put the other picture, we pray for the other lady. We said she's called Jean. She has breast cancer. So we are going to rebuke the breast cancer and command it to get out of her body right now in the name of Jesus. Now this is a how to. Remember how to deal with sickness. Speak to what? Speak to what? Speak to the sickness. Speak to the sickness. It can hear. Remember, the sickness hears. Everything hears. Jesus says, if you speak to this mountain, even a mountain hears. Amen? And he demonstrated it by speaking to a tree, and told it, nobody will eat of your fruit. And the tree hardened and died. So now, the cancer is going to die from her breast. Amen? Now, all of you are going to be in unison and speak to the cancer in Jean, whatever. Body and command it to leave. Are you ready? Okay. In the name of Jesus, we speak to you, cancer, in the body of this lady, in the body of Jean. I command you in the name of Jesus. We command you in Jesus' name to come out of her, come out of Jean. In Jesus' name, dry up from the roots and come out immediately right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Just pray in tongues for a bit. As you point at her picture, pray in tongues a bit. We believe that Jean is healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the healing in her body. We thank you for the healing in her body. We thank you because that cancer has dried up in Jesus' name. That cancer is dead, is gone in the name of Jesus, and she's healthy, she's whole, she's healthy in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Rika Bazatara, Sila Kromostanda Maras, Reshekurozala Mahrazite, Sikoroshala Mahrazita, Ramahresiti Lebeshoro Mazonto Roshan. And the baby is suffering from what? Eh? Put the baby. Whose baby is this, you know?
That's my neighbor's baby. She has been in coma for like 7 days. They say she has too many infections and she had a running stomach for a long time.
What's her name?
Anaya.
Anaya. Okay. In the name of Jesus. Okay, just pray for Anaya. Anaya, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing upon your body in Jesus' name, and I rebuke that sickness in Anaya's body in the name of Jesus. You sickness in Anaya's body, listen to me right now. Come out of her, and you coma, she comes out of coma in the name of Jesus, because we speak life and wholeness to Anaya's body in the name of Jesus. And the hand, the healing hand of the Lord Jesus Christ touches you, Anaya, where you are right now. The healing hand of the Lord Jesus Christ reaches out to you and touches you and brings life to you, life and strength, and you come out of coma. She comes out of coma in the name of Jesus and is healthy. Is healthy. We speak health in the body of Anaya in the name of Jesus. Recover. What's the mother called? Do you know what the mother is called? What's the mother called? You don't know, eh? Okay. Are these real glasses at that age, or? Eh?
They are not real glasses, but she likes to take those photos of maybe Snapchat.
Eh. Hey. So it's Masapi. Okay. So there's nothing wrong with her eyes. It is well with Anaya in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, now it is well with you. Stand up and I just give you a blessing in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you for a blessing that multiplies, that touches each and every person in this place. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. because we are connected. We are connected. We step out. And we are going into a year of stepping out, where we shall step out, we shall go and make a difference. It is not going to be a normal year. We are going to make a big difference, and we are going to be felt, we are going to be heard, we are going to be seen in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. And you shall be distinguished this coming year. Say, I shall be distinguished. You shall be heard about. You shall not be set under a blanket. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Praise the Lord. And you are that city. You are that city. Praise the Lord. And you are going to be heard about. You are going to be spoken about in the name of Jesus, because the kingdom of God is with you. And the Spirit of the Almighty God leads you into the place of your victory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabo Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.